We're with John Kaminsky today, and John, how you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Pretty good. This is Wolf Wall Street calling, and we're taking over for Tom Metzger today. He's out and about,
cool.
And I think he's headed up to the Chicago area. So we'll find out later what's going on. But John, what's the latest?
I wish I knew. I wish I knew. Let's see. The latest is the last I heard, Fukushima was above 14-degree list. I don't know if this is just another one of those fabricated disasters that they want us to worry about that never happens, or whether the dire predictions of everybody dead in 3 years in the Northern Hemisphere is going to come true. So that is like the denominator of all the fractions you want to put together at this point.
Now, in 1992, John, they had the Rio 1992 Agenda 21. Do you think this is part of it?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I'm sure they have more, many more developed programs since then. That was only the template. They've all been embellished through FEMA and all these other things since then, and they're... Boy, it's hard to know. You know, there's another big factor that shuts off all thought as well, and that's the money situation. When or if are they going to choose to shut down all the external money supplies and bring everybody into a plastic system? When that happens, that's the end of freedom.
You know, they have been shutting off a lot of the credit to these small businesses. Not the big ones, but the small ones.
Yeah, well, it's all about the consolidation. It's all about one of the great philosophical mistakes that America was lulled into or lured into was this idea that standardization and conglomeration were best, and it's like the laws were tailored that assisted this gravitational pull of all the money to the center by Walmart and all these other corporations that have driven local businesses out of business.
John, a lot of people think that this is fascism, but really, it's beyond fascism. It's much worse. I consider it centralized feudalism, which is the worst of all possible worlds. What do you think?
Centralized what?
Feudalism.
Feudalism.
Yes.
No, that's being too kind as well. It's Judaism is what it is.
Yeah.
It's Judaism. It's poison for the whole world, and it's even poison for the Jews, but they can't see that because they're too busy stealing.
The point I'm trying to make with centralized feudalism is that it isn't just the Jews. It's the others that go along with it, the Jew-think people that go along with it, that think they can walk away with the prize, and we're the victims of that prize.
Yeah, it's like the moral objective of almost everybody in the world now is to game the system, without realizing that when you game the system, you're gaming yourself.
That's true. That's it. Yep.
Yeah.
And you can't be part of it without being a major part of it. I mean, if you allow this to happen as an individual, then it's inculcated into your system.
Well, I've been thinking about all these factions that are poised to fight each other, and it's like everybody in these fights, they've marshaled all the evidence, and they have every reason to go ballistic, and yet they don't. None of them on either side, on any side, sees who's manipulating this and putting it all together, and sitting back and laughing as they take the money from both sides.
The Kike Jew is on every side of every important issue, every time.
That is right.
So what are you writing now? I got your recent one, and that's a good one.
Well, it's like that was in response to the flack I got from a previous piece from the Bleeding Christians.
Oh boy.
Who are saying, oh, how could you do such a thing? And really, the Christians are using the same technique, that piece I wrote, the slander and evade technique. They can't defend their position, So they lash out at you as being a bad person for even bringing it up, and that's the way they cover up their crimes, both Christians and Jews.
John, I have to take you to task a little bit, and I have to do this with Tom Metzger quite often, too.
Uh-huh.
I see these Orthodox Christians, they absolutely hate kike Jews, and they know it, too. And if you listen at Voice of Reason Radio, Reason Radio uh-huh. Network, to Father Raphael Johnson, this guy has it together, and he doesn't push it. He doesn't push it. If you're secular, he says, okay. If you're secular, you're secular. If you're religious, you're religious. But here's what I see. And he has some good stuff there. And these Orthodox, many of these Orthodox Christians are our compatriots, and we should look at them as such.
Well, I'll tell you, we have compatriots in every sect there is except Judaism.
Yeah.
There are moral people in every creed. That's why they built the creeds. And to, but they, by their religious establishments, they've all been coerced and blackmailed out of their original positions and have to pay homage to the money god to stay in business. That's the whole 501c3 debate about religions where they don't have to pay taxes. They have to, in rendering unto Caesar, they're like defeating their own purpose, basically, because there is no religious organization in this country that has come out and gone ballistic about all the things that they should have gone ballistic about.
Well, now, wait, I have to take you to task again, because there's Nathaniel Kapner, and he's very good. I'm not perfect, but very good. But beyond him are these people that take vows of poverty. They don't accept any outside money.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they have my admiration. I try to accept as little as possible, but I do need some to keep going.
Yeah. So what else is going on?
What else is going on? Well, yes, as you know, I'm ranging between all these subjects, and somebody tried to hit me with a financial story this morning, and I can't deal with those at all. I just don't have a mathematical mind like that. But,
well, I'll tell you what's going on there. I'm probably one of the better. I think I'm. I've never seen anybody that charts better than I do, although I can't make money at it because I hate the manipulation. I just hate it. It grinds my soul, and you know what I mean. But I see what's going on, and I think we're on the verge of the greatest bull market in history in the Dow Jones, et cetera. But
I was thinking the other day in my imaginings of how the world should be, that if we put a 10-year embargo on the use of oil and other, you can't call them fossil fuels because that's not what they are, but those burnable fuels that leave all this pollution in the air, if we put a 10-year embargo on the use of all of it and said after 10 years we're not going to use this anymore, there would be such an energy boom as you couldn't believe, and we would wind up being economically sound and pollution-free.
I agree. But wasn't there a poem written long ago by Kipling called If?
Well, the whole game hinges on the people who are controlling the world. We're doing a better job at recognizing who they are, but we still have no plan of attack to neutralize them and detoxify what they've done, and that's what needs to be done.
Yeah. Do you think this can be done without bloodshed?
I'm hoping it can be, I think there's going to have to be some just to fulfill the Jefferson rule. I mean, in our being dumbed down by this comatose artificial media, it's like a general anesthesia over all of us. So the horror of what our leaders have done really doesn't sink in because we're distracted by the white noise. But if that horror ever sinks in, and if the horror of what the Jews have done to the world ever sinks in a widespread way, there can't help but be bloodshed.
Is there any possibility for recompense for the Jews?
Well, you better explain that.
Can they ever come back from the depths that they've drug us to?
I've outlined a plan. This is like they have to be segregated from the entire world and live among themselves for about 1,000 years to prove that they're human beings.
Yeah, Tom Metzger says just put them in any place they want to go, put a wall around them, go back 10 years later, and there's none left.
I'm giving them 1,000 years because I'm a liberal, you know.
That's funny. Yeah, that's true. I look at them, you know, what do they really lack? What do these Jews lack that the rest of humanity has?
Conscience.
I kind of thought it was love. But
well,
I guess
it's pretty
thing. Much the same thing, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an easy one. Got any more?
No, I don't. But
yeah, you do. You got plenty more.
Oh, well, you know. Getting back to Agenda 21, how serious do you think they are with the Georgia Guidestones and down to half a billion people from 7 billion? How serious do you think they are?
I don't think it's really about too much about the reason. I think it's about the results. There was a Christian writer named Barbara Aho that wrote a very penetrating piece about who the Jews really are, and all of the philosophy doesn't matter. It's the bottom line. It's a cash operation. Any excuse will do. That's why we have all these Christian denominations, because each one was a moneymaker.
Yeah, well, they called it the what do they call it? Gospel prosperity or something like that.
Ecumenism.
Yeah. So, you know, getting back to race and reason, which is Tom's old show he had on the, in fact, a
right,
few of them are
right.
still going on. Huh. Now, how evil do you think racism is?
I can take the blame and put it back on the whites, because it's their hypocrisy that has created all these different kinds of slave classes. If we really believed in the gospel of Jesus Christ, when we went to Africa and saw all these hapless people, we wouldn't have used them as slaves. We would have recognized them as primitive human beings, tried to understand what they were doing, but that's not what the dominant paradigm has taught us to do. And this is why I keep veering back into fear of death, and everybody gets really bored when I do it. But as this whole system is set up on the promise of eternal life, and we keep piling up all these toys to insulate us from what we know is going to happen, and then not recognizing the knowing that that's going to happen has twisted society down through time, made us unnecessarily combative. And why, I mean, when we get older, it's a lot easier to see. Why are we piling up all these things when they hurt us? Why are we following these abstract rules that are actually ruining the conditions for our survival? It's a nutty thing. It's a psychosis that humanity has. Nobody understands what I'm talking about, but it's the most important thing is that we are, as a society, completely insane because we believe in something that's not possible and spend all our lives crushing each other trying to attain something that is not possible.
So essentially, as a whole, you're looking at mankind as insane, but not in the particular.
Right.
Yeah. When we talk about race, I hope you understand that in the year 1900, approximately approaching one-third of the world's population, let's put it that way, were obvious European-type white people.
One-third, obvious. You say?
One-third, just approaching. Uh-huh. I don't think it's exact, but it's pretty close. Now, nowadays, they say it's 8-9%. I think it's more like 5-6%, because they're including many of these mixed race people as being white people now. So we're about 5-6%. Is that not genocide?
Well, who's perpetrated that genocide?
Well, I say Kike Jews for the most part.
Oh, yeah,
but
for sure. I mean, for sure.
That's
a given, but it's the you know, it's like when you said that, I just had the thought that for as much as I've railed about the cruelty of the white race to other people around the world, the colonialism that did take place actually abetted the rise in their birth rate.
Right, right.
So that was
well,
that was that was kind of
funny. You sell corn to Africa, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So, but again, it devolves back to the whites that they have created. But that would be that they. Something good came out of colonialism and that the birth rate went up. I mean, that's a sign of better lifestyle.
Well, is that good if they can't sustain their own peoples? I mean, is that just
it probably isn't.
Is that welfare or is that something else?
Well, it's like the Jews always want to breed a slave class. And it's like when you get into discussions about slavery, which Tom, I'm sure, would love to get into, you see that... the people who brought slaves to America actually sabotaged their own country, and now we're in a situation where blacks are being promoted as paragons of virtue and whites as being utterly, utterly ignorant, to facilitate the creation of a more malleable slave class. And that's what we've gotten. It's like we're all being made into black people.
Yeah, well, we're all being made into slaves. That's what they want. They don't care if they're white, black, or in between. What they want are slaves.
Right.
Yeah. Well, Tom Metzger says that often, that if he had been back there in the 1600s, whatever, on the shores of North America, and if they approached with those slave ships, he would have sunk them or sent them back.
That would have been the moral thing to do.
Yes.
But
yes.
Morality always comes up short.
Well, morality is what it is. It's the people that are willing to fight for morality, for the right thing. And too often, what I've seen, even in my own family, I've seen people that were, they knew the highest reaches of industrialists, and they always back down. They're cowards. They're moral cowards.
Oh, yeah. That's what I keep saying. Go right at the Jews. They can't defend their position. They can only slander and evade.
Yes. So, 3 days ago, that Kent State, 1970, they shot three kids. Four kids. Four dead in Ohio, according to Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young. And
I can sing that if you like.
Dad, I remember back then, he said, good. You know, that was one of my breaks with my parents, when he said good on that one. And the other one was when I was out in the streets, but I was willing to go more out in the streets back then to fight the war. And he told me, I had to go, talking about World War II, I had to go, so should you. I think that's complete, utter bullshit.
Well, it's brainwashing.
Yeah.
The one thing I found out among the many things I found out by looking is that the entire history of the 20th century is a put up job.
Yeah.
World Wars I and II were all banker generated. And the diseases, it's like the medical profession. I mean, this should tell you that we have many signs that everything is upside down, but this should really tell you the object of the medical profession since at least the turn of the century has been to invent diseases so they can increase their profitability. And when they got oil and then when they got nuclear power, they were all for all of that. Not only can they use both of them as medicine, but they both make people sick. And this is how the objective of our entire society has been warped by people who control the money, keep the general populace poor enough to become desperate to accept the bullshit that they do.
You know, John, I was with the LaRouche people back in the 70s, mm-hmm. and I was always somewhat worried about, you know, it's like a, almost like a nebulous concept. I was always somewhat worried about regular fission nuclear energy, but I love the idea of fusion energy. That's why I got involved with them. They had a thing called the Fusion Energy Foundation, and so that's why I got involved with them for 4 or 5 years. And but lately, I got to tell you, there's just no way that fission energy is the way to go. I mean, we got to have fusion or matter antimatter, but we can't do this this other.
Well, let me tell you a little variation on that story.
Okay.
I've become lately enamored by theories of electricity. They're all connected by electricity, and I'm finding all sorts of evidence that indicates this is so. But I was watching the Thunderbolts video, the basic introductory video on thunderbolts.info, and I saw or learned that sunspots coming out of the sun are not so much expectorations of the sun of energy, they are splashes made by incoming energy, and that the actual sun, which you can see in the pictures, is actually hollow inside, and what's happening on the outside, it's a sizzling electric grid that is connecting energy to the universe and radiating energy to all of the planets that are around it, which are, you know, in space, it's like very few particles. So there's, but where did I want to go with that?
To the sun.
Yeah, it's about the hollowness of the sun, and everything is it's all electric, and nuclear power is a very questionable entity. But why was it created? Why did they say the sun was nuclear powered like that if it wasn't? And does that mean that the entire concept of nuclear power is an unnatural energy source made by splitting atoms? Which maybe, you know, I'm not a physicist, so I'm treading on shaky ground, but what I'm driving at is that nuclear power shouldn't be used at all, because it's just another part of the Jewish destabilization template to take over the world. And I mean, they pretty much succeeded in taking over the world. They've taken over our minds, they've taken over all the sciences, and we don't know what's real or not, or what's a Jewish spin job.
Yeah, maybe, John, maybe we just got lazy. You know, as we don't want to think about those things because we're out in the fields. You see, I'm a proponent of the white working class. And in fact, I'm a proponent of all working classes, but the white working class first and foremost, because those are my people, and I will fight and die for my people. But the thing is, maybe we just got lazy and we let other people do our thinking.
Oh, that's definitely it. We're a slothful bunch. There's no question about it. If we're content, if we have enough sex, food, and the comforts of life, we'll believe anything as long as we're getting our share. I mean, that's the deal.
And then comes the bottom line they just take it all away.
It's like the Disney story of the grasshopper and the ant.
So,
I mean, we're there, but the problem is with the creation of several hundred years of technological conveniences, that has like stripped humans of their ability to survive physically.
Well, it's the compartmentalization.
But I mean, all of our skills have been taken away from us. We don't know what electric light has done to our minds, for instance. It's like it's diminished them. We can't see as well at night. And all sorts of other things, and it's like none of this technological growth has been ever cleared with its benefit. How do I want to say this? Has been never validated against its benefit to our human health, and most of the technological things that we have diminished our human health.
Well, it's kaiju divide and conquer. Every time, it doesn't matter where the element is, they will divide and conquer and pull out. They'll rationalize it. They'll turn it into money somehow and take the money. And they'll take the money and run. They do it every time. And
it's kind of like sewage runs downhill.
Well, you know, but we don't want this. We don't want this. We want to go ahead. In fact, the best of us, I think I'm one of the best of us, and I think you are too. We want to open the next door. We want to open that door and see where it leads us. And
I think
the kaiju wants to put a price on it.
Well, it's like we have to realize that door is inside our own head, and once we really open that door and understand the real deal, this is all theoretical, of course, once we open that door and understand more about the real deal, they're going to become irrelevant because, you know, it's like we're both the consumer and the producer are being strangled by the middleman, and all the laws abet that crime. It's like we have to do our own work. We have to reconnect to the planet. I'm a kind of a half a moon hoax believer. I've seen the evidence, and I think it's very compelling, but my mind can't quite wrap itself around it.
It's tough.
Tough one, yeah. But, you know, there's a difference between what actually is and what we believe, and we need to work on understanding the difference between that. And the first best way to do that is to turn off your television, because everything you hear on there is bogus.
That's what Old Man says. I don't know if you know this guy, Old Man. Have you ever heard of him?
Oh, Zan, sure. Zan Overall.
Not Zan. An Old Man. Zan. I like Zan. I go back. I like Zan. He's a great guy. He's out there with the signs on Hollywood Boulevard. Give me a break.
Yeah, that's him, all right.
Yeah, he's great. No, there's another guy called Old Man.
I guess I don't know him.
O-L-E-M-A-N. And I used to converse with them about 12, 13, 14 years ago, and then they cut us off from this Jewish financial website because we were talking too much reality. But Old Man, yeah, he used to talk about that. So people should go there. All you got to do is Google the Old Man Show, and you'll get to him. But he talked about the mind wars. In 1920, actually there was an earlier one, 1913, before the First World War, 1913 or so. And then I guess the First World War muted that one. And then the real mind wars occurred in 1920, 21, 22. And this is where Billy Mitchell, that guy that got knocked out of the Air Force or U.S. Army Air Corps, he bombed these people. He bombed U.S. citizens. So, you know, I'm starting to think about back. I don't know what we were talking about before, but that just came right up to mind. And what do you think is going to happen as far as that goes? Do you think the military will actually shoot upon a lot of the citizens, or will it be spotty? Will it be skirmishes?
I don't think they'll need to shoot at all. I think they'll be as as gracious as they can, given that they're drug-addled rapists. But they're just going to herd hungry people into re-education camps because there's going to be no food anywhere.
Well, now, the archipelago, the Gulag Archipelago by Solzhenitsyn, I think it was a footnote, he said that we all dreamed that we would have fought back in the corridors, we would have gotten together and stopped the Cheka before they killed us.
Yeah, no, we won't. We won't. We're too drugged. We're too comatose. We're too, I say mind locked. Been pitching that word for 5 or 6 years. It hasn't caught on, but it's like we're unable to defend ourselves, and that is the deliberate result of all the influences that we've ingested while we were not paying attention and watching television.
Now, you know, looking at Might Makes Right, that's Ragnar Redbeard, and things like that. Maybe you've seen it, maybe you haven't. Have you seen that at all?
No, I haven't seen that, but Might Makes Right is the dominant philosophy of the world that has dominated all culture since the dawn of time.
Hmm. So, given that, are these kaijus right?
I don't think they're not able to defend themselves. So, ultimately, they're wrong, because they can't defend their position. It's all sleight of hand. It's all depends on slander and evading and then deception and lying and exploitation. And that ultimately is a zero-sum game. No matter how much currency you steal from the people, when you have it all, it's going to be worth nothing.
Well, in the end, though, when they say all is fair in love and war, that doesn't hold up?
Oh, no, that holds up in all circumstances.
So maybe they're right.
No. They're not right because this is where religion really prevents us from seeing ourselves. They're not right because the true goal of life is to nurture the ones we love. And the minute that stops becoming the true goal of life, then we're lost in the ether. We're going to go extinct if we lose that. And they're working on losing that because they want totally alienated, separated units to manipulate at will. And that's pretty much what they have already. There's only a few old geezers who are pointing out that everything is not as it should be, and nobody's listening to them because they're all swept up in the white noise mind lock of Dancing with the Stars and all that shit.
Well, not everybody watches that crap, though. I mean, let's just think about the people that are off that grid and that are on this grid, as contaminated as it is by the kike Jews over in Herzliya. But they still, but they want to get away from that crap, and they get into this crap, but some of the stuff here is good. So what do they do?
Well, I think the first thing is everybody has to answer these questions from themselves, and the first step in reclaiming some semblance of control over our world is to realize who's running everything, and that anybody who's watching any of this needs to be warned of the poison that they're ingesting. And I know, you know, I have a family that's totally oblivious to everything, siblings, nephews and such. And there is no lulling them out of their coma by the direct approach. It's like they have to hear it from an authority. They have to hear it on television. So temporarily, at least, they can't be reached. And the rest of us just have to go on about our business, trying to build something, try to gain penetration. I don't know how much this alleged Ron Paul insurgency at the convention is gonna hold up. But in a way, this is terrible to say because I love Ron Paul, but in a way, it might be bad if he won the nomination and won the presidency, because this system can't be repaired. This system has been fatally flawed from the outset because of the secret control by the bankers.
Yeah.
And until we get to that, until Ron Paul can come right out and talk about 9/11 and Israel in a candid way, we're still stuck in the artificial reality, and that's going to get us all killed.
You know, John, it's almost like one day the masses, and I won't call them masses, there are people. There are people. We aren't going forward without our people. But one day they will wake up, and all of a sudden there will be different leaders.
No, it's not going to happen. They just tried to do that in France where they...
Well, Marine Le Pen, she's a Zionist, so, you know.
No, they just replaced Sarkozy with another Jew socialist.
Right. Well, Marine Le Pen made the difference in that race, and she's a Zionist. So France is gone. France has been gone for ever since their revolution, they've been gone.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. But my point is that someday, hopefully, the people, the masses of people, I call it the 98%, not the 99%. The reason I call it 98% because it's our 1% against their 1%.
I think that's a false construct. I don't think there's no 1% and there's no 99%.
Okay.
I think really the dangerous percentage is the 12 to 25%.
Tom Metzger says, I hate to interrupt, Tom Metzger always said 20%. He noticed, in politics, when it gets to 20%, that's when it becomes serious.
Yeah, and I still think what's holding everything up is the 12 to 25%, in my estimation, that are still making it in this system. They're still functioning in this system. And they may not think they have a connection to the power that's destroying everything that they do.
We talk about the 20%, the 100th monkey. They talk about the 100th monkey. I don't know if you've heard that term before.
I definitely have, but I think that's a false construct, too. I don't think there's any electorate left to be convinced or molded. I think everybody's robotically marching toward whatever fate is in store for them, with the feeling that there's nothing they can do to stop it, and it's really hard to shake people out of this feeling.
I have to disagree, because I have to say that the more people that become attuned to the Internet, see, the Internet's the big difference. The Internet is the one that the Kike Jew didn't see it. what's his name from Microsoft? I don't even want to repeat his name, but I know he's a kaiju. I happen to know people that know his family. This guy stumbled in to what he got. He got this DOS, the disk operating system, in the mid-80s, and he turned it into MS. But this guy almost missed the entire internet. He's so stupid. And I happen to think that there are a lot of people out there, but what we're looking for is the 20%. We can't count on any more than that, but we better goddamn well hope there's 20%.
No, I would go back to say that's a false construct, because we can't repair this system.
Yeah. Oh, no.
This system needs to be troubleshot. The Constitution is not what... It's like people go around saying we got to restore the Constitution. The Constitution is not what everybody thinks it is. The Constitution is a plan for the federal government, is all it is. The Bill of Rights was added on as a sop to people who were complaining about the Constitution.
Right on target.
But the Bill of Rights has no influence on any tangible action that is taken by the government.
Right. The Constitution is, you're absolutely right, it is a development for centralized control. That's what it is. But is centralized control always bad, or are the people driving it, the ones who control it now, so evil that they make centralized control itself evil?
Well, I think I think the notion of centralized control is intrinsically evil, because I keep saying to people who have these grand social schemes, anything that's not based on the inviolable principle of individual liberty is a bogus plan, and all of these grand schemes for the future are based on a standardization of people, and that's the last thing we want to be doing, since the real strength of humanity is in its individual efforts,
creativity,
that benefits everyone.
Yeah. I agree with that, but how are we going to get to the stars on the cheap?
I think you go through your mind, actually.
Well, I don't know about, obviously we have to go through our mind, but we have to make it real too. It's probable, it's very probable, and I hate to say this, but it's very probable that all the moonshots, all that stuff was BS. It was created by Stanley Kubrick in a studio.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know. I could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong.
The point I can't get beyond in my logic is that above the Van Allen belt,
there you go. Yep.
250 miles, humans can't survive that radiation without being encased in large amounts of lead that are too heavy to launch.
Yeah, you hit the nail right on the head. The Van Allen radiation belt. That's what when I was a little kid, or a kid anyway, back in the early 60s, I still couldn't understand it. But I just let it go because it didn't matter. It didn't affect me directly.
Right.
Right. And then in the 70s, when they brought affirmative action into NASA, well, that was the end of the space program, whatever it was. That's when we eventually had all these blow ups and things like that. Affirmative action, you can blame it. And that's true. But the thing is, we still, if we're going to go to the stars, we need centralized action to concentrate our best efforts, not our worst efforts, not trying to make a buck, but our best efforts on developing the means to really go to the stars.
I see none of that happening under our present paradigm. And it's like I keep talking about this and nobody understands it, but we're going to be coming to it sooner or later. And that is that as long as we believe we're searching for eternal life and doing the things necessary to facilitate that search, we're going to destroy everything we touch.
Well, eternal life, I mean, you, as an individual, that's BS, of course. I mean, we know that. Others don't know it. But you and I know that is ridiculous. But as far as an extension of humankind, I only see that if we don't get off this planet eventually, we will be extincted. And everything we've done, everything, good, bad, and different, we've done to this point, and every point in time, will be absolutely meaningless. In fact,
that's all in danger now.
Yeah.
That's all very much in danger now. No, I don't think we're prepared, either psychologically or physiologically, to even do that. But when we send nukes to other heavenly bodies, this is sending a really bad sign to anybody who might be out there that these human people are primitive assholes who are misguided, don't know what they're doing, and shouldn't be allowed to proliferate.
But, John, don't you think that the basic thought paradigm for all beings, wherever they are, is pretty much the same?
No.
Ah, okay.
Ask any Jew.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, that too. That's part of the total paradigm. It's like I bring up to Tom Metzger, it's like the disease and the immune deficiency. We have an immune deficiency against these kike Jews.
That's a good way to put it.
I think it is. But which way do you fight the disease? You know you've got the disease over here, and the thing that causes the disease, and you know you have the ability eventually to figure out where the fault is in the immune system so that you can correct the immune deficiency. Which one do you fight first?
I can make it simpler than that.
Okay.
Tough love
is
what it's like. I don't believe in vengeance, but I do believe in corrective action. I do believe in self-defense. The Jews need our tough love. And they need to be put away where they can stew in their own juices and realize the error of their ways. Not that we know the right way, but we certainly know theirs is the wrong way because it doesn't sustain life.
Yeah, they're the biggest problem we've got, but not the only problem we've got.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right. But it's like they compound every problem, not to mention they invent most of them, but it's like any great discovery that's ever found, they immediately seize upon, like the Mayer brothers stole Edison's camera. And it's like they pervert everything they touch. I was puzzled by art. I did a little art history, and art is wonderful up until the 19th century. And then the Jewish influence comes in, and you get all these things that are utterly incomprehensible and debauched and pornographic and all this other stuff. And I'm thinking, this isn't the way humans are. This is the way Jews are. But they have turned it into a Jewish world. And until we see that, and we may never see that before the whole thing blows up.
Well,
we just have to keep fighting to make people more awake one step at a time. And eventually, like you said, the 20%, it's the only course we have that eventually enough people would rise up and say, this is preposterous, and everything has been preposterous since 9/11.
Well,
it's all been.
I think the 20% is good, but it's not that they will rise up; it's that they will not stab you in the back, and they will give some semblance of support. I still say it's our 1% against their 1%, and I think I'm right on target on that.
Yeah, but we're staying at 1%. Well, no, that's not true. We are growing. It's probably 12% now. But.
Yeah, but these other 11%, are they out there? Are they doing the right thing, or are they just agreeing?
Well, one of the things that really scares me that I've said over and over again is that the so-called internet is really dominated by Jewish influences.
Oh, yeah.
Especially the controlled opposition. I mean, we've been at it long enough to be able to see Alex Jones and people like that and what they're doing. But
that's for the 80%.
but we haven't cracked the nut yet, and it's way late. It's like we haven't figured out what the scam is that's being played on us, and I'm trying to point out that it's the eternal life scam. It's the whole placing your faith in an artificial being disempowers you, not to mention clouds your thinking completely.
Well, our people now they're taking classes in ham radio, carrier pigeons, the most
good.
Basic forms of communication, the most basic forms.
Good.
And we plan on surviving. We're going to do the best we can to get ahead and to take mankind forward, too. We don't hate the other races. It's just that we don't want to be saddled down. We want to open the next door. We want to open that door to the future. That's who we are.
I think the key to that is looking inside. And this New Age guy taught me long ago, it's one of the great truths I've heard in this life, the key to integrity is admitting your faults.
Mm-hmm.
And if you try to create any kind of program that doesn't do that, that program is doomed to be a shell of what it originally aimed to be. And I think that's what's happened to Christianity.
Well, yeah, Christianity, it's just an extension of Judaism, as is Islam. These are mythological creations for control. For control. Right. And I think it was either Constantine or Diocletian, maybe both of them, that that took Rome and turned it into a pile of crap. And after that, you know, it was open for destruction, and the barbarians came in.
Well, it was a clever sabotage from within over time. The great thing that put the put Christianity over the top was that they told all the slaves that they were no longer slaves and that all of their past sins were forgiven, and this included all the criminals. So this is who the early Christians were, taking a free pass to get even with the legitimate citizens of Rome. And what this did, as it's done to America, is to pollute all of the traditions, all of the functions that worked in the society were weighed down by these welfare recipients, and that's what sank the country, and that's what sank America.
Yeah, the slaves took off their platelets, which they hung around their necks, and became wage slaves. They thought they were free, and actually they were in worse shape than they were under the master.
It turned out that way,
yep. Well, John, hey, this has been a good time. Any parting words? Any what are you working on today?
What am I working on today? I've got three things. There's a couple of things. I've always got about too many things on the fire. One of the things that I'm working on is wheat. Wheat is poison.
Wheat?
Wheat.
You mean
W-H-E-A-T,
wheat?
That's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Wheat is in virtually every product you eat, and it's poison. It's been genetically modified, and your body can no longer digest it, and that's what's triggering the obesity epidemic. Twinkie.
Not just sugar.
Well, sugar's a major player, but it's the wheat that has really complicated everything in our bodies.
You know, there's a book called The Sugar Blues that I don't know if you've seen it or not, but every great empire is it's strange that if you put it on a graph on the usage of sugar, and then you see the empire when the usage of sugar gets very high, the empire drops, and so does everything else. It just collapses.
And in general, I'm working on this, like the stuff that perks my ears up most are the ancient systems and how they came to be. And what I did in that story, it's like my breakthrough story was Shadow of the Comet when I read Coleman's Beaumont.
Right.
And then realized that Velikovsky came along to cover up what Coleman's Beaumont did by creating all of these planetary distractions about Mars flying one way and Jupiter flying the other way. Mm. What we know for sure is that what appears to have, if not triggered our civilization, greatly accelerated it, were these celestial disasters that destroyed a large part of the world. And the survivors from that disaster went around and created all these ancient countries. There were these white, red-haired giants of prehistory that show up everywhere, spreading the arts of farming and metallurgy. And the Christian myth was set up to wipe out all that, which prevents our understanding of our true condition and position. And until we break through the mind lock of what the Christian tradition has imposed on that, has imposed on us, we're not ever going to see anything clearly, because we're always going to be caught behind the filter of this myth that has been created for us. And the central pillar of that myth is Jesus rising from the tomb, which was seen only by two women of depending on who you talk to, bad reputation. So this whole mind lock that controls all the thinking of the Western world is actually premised on that one flimsy thing, and it will fall without it. And it is so demonstrably false that it just blows my mind that the entire of humanity, or millions and millions of people, have accepted this as true, because it gives them a magic cure for everything, and it blinds them to what is actually happening.
I think often the reason that it gets by so easily is that people just don't have time. They do other things and they let it go. It's I remember back in the 70s when I was over at Ford's, they said, go with the flow, go with the flow.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, that's bullshit. And I never accepted that.
The one I like from the 70s, it was a Canadian one, Strength and Diversity.
Oh, jeez. Okay, have you ever heard of a guy by the name of Vernadsky in Russia?
Vladimir Vernadsky,
yes.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's there you go. There's your biosphere and
oh yeah,
et cetera. I mean, this guy was way ahead of his time, and you were mentioning the other Russian. You know, I think Mother Russia is the heart and soul of the future.
And I would agree with that.
And I think that that's always been the target of these kike Jews and Jew thinkers and these imperialists.
Well, what they did to Russia was just so stark. I mean, when you watch that Yuri Lena movie In the Shadow of Hermes, Lenin's main social program was to kill as many people as possible. That was his main social program. He developed all of these flowers off of this original program of inventing new ways to kill people.
Yeah, they take creative destruction to the extreme, and that's what we're up against, and they're going to do it again if they can.
They're doing it.
Yeah, they're going to do it again if they can. You know.
Well, we're already dead, Bob.
Well, yeah. Well, we're revolutionaries, and the catechism of the revolutionary. One of the basic precepts is once you become a revolutionary, you're already dead. But the thing is.
Over that.
Yeah, the thing is that we haven't lost yet. It's beautiful. My thing is, you know, Tom Metzger always pulls for chaos, and I always say, wait a minute. Time's on our side now. For centuries, maybe millennia, time has been on the side of the kike Jew.
But I don't know.
Ever since the internet, time is on our side.
Every time we
put another one out there, the 80% are stupid, but all we need are the 20%, and they're starting to wake up.
You know, I'll tell you something, Bob, and I've been watching the 9/11 skeptics for 10 years.
Yeah,
we're losing ground.
Really?
Yep.
How so?
The society has hardened in behind the lie. They're teaching Afghanistan war tricks to elementary school students and glorifying these people as people to be emulated.
Mm-hmm.
And many of the main 9/11 skeptics have gotten tired from working so hard and so long, and it's like I'm really the only one. There's one or two others in the 9/11 skeptics movement that have tried to point out, you know, like Zion Crime Factory has done a terrific job of pointing out, and Mike Delaney, of course, have pointed out that 9/11 was a Jew job, but that hasn't taken on the rest of the internet. These guys are handled with kid gloves and kept at a distance and not included in the regular Jewish-controlled so-called democratic output on the internet, like the Global Research and Salon and all
that. Right, right. Yeah, the gatekeepers.
Yeah. And I actually think, if we congratulate ourselves that we're gaining momentum, I would caution you to say that we've actually lost ground due to the constant creation.
Repetition.
Of new phony champions like Gordon Duff.
Yeah, right. And
people are being led astray down this garden path of we're fixing things, but the real stuff isn't being talked about. The really tremendous advances they've made in food poisoning where, you know, the deal is you go into a supermarket and there's nothing in there that's not poison. Mm. So I think right now we're losing ground.
Well, we may be losing ground, but I'm a chartist. I do chart.
What is?
I chart the markets and things like that, but I do it differently than anybody else. I think I'm probably the best. In fact, I'm pretty sure I'm probably the best. And I'll tell you, this is the turnaround time. And when it looks the bleakest, that's when it's either all or nothing. You put everything there. That's where you put all your money at that point. You put all your money at that point. And yeah, you have a stop loss, of course. Everybody has a stop loss, but you put it a little bit lower than you normally would. But I think we have a real possibility for change, and I mean big time turnaround, because these kike Jews are on their heels. They're on their heels. They come out. They even use they're so arrogant. John, they're so arrogant, they use their real names now all over the place. You don't even have to figure out whether they're crypto Jews. They just Steinberg, Steinmetz.
Lena Kagan.
Oh, jeez. I mean, it's absurd. It's absurd. They're so arrogant. And it's beautiful because, you know, I got to say, John Mill said one thing that's very right. Pride cometh before the fall. And they are very prideful right now. And they're in everybody's bedroom at the higher reaches, the elites. They're in every elite bedroom, every one, it seems.
Yeah.
So this time, when we wipe them out, we're going to wipe out the elite, too. And I'm hoping that the working class, being moral individual and moral good people, I'm hoping that the working class will have the leadership this time to lead.
Bob, I got to tell you about the historical record. Never happened.
Well, you mean it hasn't happened yet.
So that is what I mean, yeah. And, you know, I'm a great believer in things go according to form. And I think back to ancient Greece, where one by one they got all the islands, and Sparta held out for a long time and had this very rigorous, almost more rigorous than the Nazi system. But they eventually...
I hope you're thinking of the Soviet system, too.
Well, no, that was, I think that was something different. That was never an inbred social movement. That was an invasion from without by American Jews or European Jews.
Mm.
It's like the Soviet Union didn't have a revolution. They were taken over by Jews.
Right, right. Well, yeah, but the Nazis, I hate that term Nazi because it's used as a term of derision by kike Jews. But the thing is that Hitler... Everybody thinks the Hitler lovers, they really knock me off my socks. They don't understand that it wasn't Hitler. It was the German people. They were the greatest assemblage of humanity ever in the history of mankind.
Could well be.
They were. But Hitler took them off the cliff.
We're still trying to figure that all out. All I know is that this whole tangent of the Bush family and the Harrimans supporting Hitler early on or throughout, I think that's a ruse. I think that's a dead-end street as far as thinking about, because I think really there's only, and this is what my research has led me to, there's only one side. We've invented all these divisions to distract us from our fear of death.
Well, that's true. You know, what you mentioned about the Bushes, et cetera, that was just business back then. It was just business. It wasn't philosophical. It was greed.
It was part of the plan. It's just like Jacob Schiff sending money to Russia or America sending pallets of $100 bills to Iraq for distribution among the combatants. Same thing. It's a fixed deal. It's one side. We're inventing all these things to why the hell are we doing it? Why do we keep following our abstractions to certain ruin when they don't provide us with the necessities of life? That's insane.
Because it's not us doing it, John.
No, we're allowing it to be done to us.
Yeah, well, I got to go back to the immune deficiency and the disease.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, John, I got to tell you.
Thank you.
Wow.
Be sure and say hi to Tom for me and tell him to keep calm.
Okay, I will. Hey,
all right, Bob.
You have a good day. And what we say here is 14-5, five words. I have nothing to say.
Thanks for all you're doing, Bob.
Okay, brother. You too.
All right.
Bye now.
See ya.
You are on the road, must have a code that you can live by, and so become yourself, because the past is just a goodbye. Teach your children well, their father's hell did slowly go by, and feed them on your dreams, the one they picked, the one you know by. Don't you ever ask them why, if they told you you would cry, so just look at them and sigh, and know they love you. Told you you would cry, so just look at them and sigh.